football on off the ball.
I know we questioned the decision to give him a new contract pre-game, which still feels a little bit odd, but ultimately I think he deserves it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Over the next half hour or so, we're going to preview tomorrow's Irish Grand National at Ferry House. Tom Malone of the Irish Field is with me live from the Meath race course itself. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good, John. I wouldn't have bet on this about this time yesterday. It was glorious sunshine here at Ferry House today after avoiding the worst of Storm Dave, I suppose, through the night and late yesterday evening. But there's a great crowd in. The weather's absolutely lovely. We've had plenty of pretty dramatic racing already this afternoon. But looking forward to the big stuff is just about to really get underway now. Obviously, Willow Warm Gold Cup at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then obviously building up to the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National tomorrow.
Yeah, you're looking the part, Tom, to be fair, on the screen, suited and booted and everything. So just go through the results this afternoon. So Colcannon won the maiden hurdle, 5-2 favourite. Katie Daniels, a 33-1 winner of the handicap hurdle for trainer Killian Collins and jockey Ben Harvey. And then Cocktail Brew at 13-2 has just won the grade 2 novice hurdle for Jack Kennedy and Gordon Elliott. What have you observed so far this afternoon?
Yeah, that kind of doesn't tell the full story because there was late fallers in those two races as well. And Dunham Myler, unfortunately, has come down the last on both of those occasions. So he had the first winner. But, I mean, Blake, your old friend, John, I think your old friend Blake, he was right upside Cocktail Brute coming to the last. And it looked like an almost identical replay of the Royal Bond here earlier on in the season, but then unfortunately he just stumbled at the back of the last and Cocktail Brute was able to come home in his own time. But yeah, big price winner as well just before that with Katie Daniels. But again, there was a last fence faller there as well, unfortunately for Dunham Myler. But yeah, great day so far. And like I said, the good stuff is still to come. Notable that Leader Dahlia actually kind of blew out quite badly in that previous race, the grade 2. He was weak enough in the betting throughout the morning as well. Probably went off odds against, having been odds on through most of the previous 24 hours, but pulled very hard and then sort of went out early enough.
Just let's talk about, before we get to maybe the William Warm Gold Cup, before we finish the pod, the Irish Grand National, what it means, Tom. I mean, it's been going since 1870. Sir Robert Peel won it back then at Ferry House. In 1916, we had the Rising, and a lot of the hoi polloi were up in, from the establishment were up at Ferry House. All sorts won it that year in 1916. Tom Draper, 10 wins in the race as a trainer. Arkle has won it. Flying Bolt has won it. Paddy Mullins with 4 wins. Brown Ladd won it 3 times in the 70s. The success of women in the race, I mean, Anne Ferris on Benton Boy in 1984. Jenny Pittman as a trainer. And also Sandra Hughes, Dot Love. And then we had Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh riding winners as jockeys. And Family Connections, the Carberries, the Moors. I mean, there's so many great threads. Desert Orchid coming in 1990 and winning. There's so many brilliant stories from the past and the history of the race.
Yeah, well, I mean, like there's so many elements to that. I mean, obviously, I'm lucky to live very close to Ferry House here, and the significance of the race is never lost on me. And if it is, somebody local will tell you how significant it is in a very, very short amount of time. Nina Carberry's here. She's helping out with some of the Family Fun Day activities, but she was spoken to as well there about how special it was for her to win the race. And she just reamed off almost every member of her family who'd also won it, how important it was for them. So yeah, it's a massive local occasion. There's no getting away from that. And you know, think of the likes of Dermot McLaughlin, like relatively small trainer, won the race twice, including with a 100-1 winner and freewheeling Dylan. So yeah, it's a very special race locally. It's changed massively over the years. There's no doubt about that. You know, you talk about 1990 and Desert Orchid and how classy he was. And I mean, that's like, I suppose it's a bit like when Munster beat the All Blacks and there was whatever handful of people were there, but you know, since then, the legend has grown and grown and grown, and everyone was there. It's a bit like that with Desert Orchid and the Irish National. Now, there were huge crowds there because they used to have the crowds inside as well, and the kind of picnic area on the inside of the track. But anyone that's sort of my vintage or a little bit older, some of their earliest childhood racing memories are all about, Desert Orchid landing that Irish Grand National back in 1990. Just a spectacular horse. And he was one of those real, you know, we don't get enough of them anymore, those public horses, and that's what he was.
What do you think is required to win an Irish Grand National? You have 3.5 miles to negotiate, fences to be jumped. What do you think are the key requirements for Horse to win this?
Obviously jumping and stamina, but it's changed so much. Obviously the prize fund of the race is so big now. It is definitely a different kind of race. Like you look at the reserves, I mean, it's so harsh on the likes of the Folly Master, who has clearly been laid out for this race, gets to mark a 133 and doesn't get in. That's just so tough to take for connections. You think, oh, maybe you should let a few more in. But, you know, the profile of winners like last year's winner, Haiti Couleur, like R. Duke for Jessica Harrington a couple of years ago. It's just those kind of classy, maybe novices, second season novice. They're maybe coming out of that, you know, that like was the case with Haiti Couleur last year, come out of what's now the 4 miler is now a handicap that at Cheltenham, or in the case of this year's favourite, the Jukebox Kid, was scheduled to run in that race, skipped it, and has come straight here off a, you know, mark in the low 140s. It's a different race now, but it's still an enormous test. And one of the things Fairy Hay still has going for it, it's a proper jumping test, John. I mean, we regularly moan about how the Grand National is not the jumping test it was, but the Irish Grand National, they're still big old fences coming down into Ballyhack and the like, and coming for home. They're proper old school, you know, chase fences that the team here at Fairy Hay take enormous pride in as well. And, in fairness as well, the place looks immaculate this afternoon, I've got to say that. But yeah, to win it, you need some of the jumps and stays first and foremost. They need to have maybe half a stone in hand at least. And maybe now just that little bit of class is coming into it more than maybe before, when it was just for those, you know, an out-and-out kind of handicap plodder. They might do a job in years gone by, but I don't think that's the case anymore. You just need that element of class now.
I think a key thing for me when I'm trying to narrow down the contenders for the Irish Grand National, horses that are good front runners. I really feel that it's a race for front runners and horses getting into a rhythm with their jockey, getting them into a rhythm early doors, getting them jumping well, getting them into a rhythm, and then you can take a breather at certain times. And I generally find that horses that go out in front and enjoying themselves, it's hard, I think, to come from behind in the Irish Grand National. And that is one big thing for me.
And it kind of goes a couple of ways, doesn't it? Because the front runner, absolutely, because I suppose first and foremost you get away from the trouble and then they're able to relax. And if there is any, you know, if there's any sort of scrimmaging or jostling for position in behind, they're away from that. And so that headache is kind of gone from the race. But yeah, I remember Paddy Flood was on Off the Ball actually with us, and he spoke about winning the race. That was back in 2008 with 2008 here, the Echo. Yeah, and he kind of did that. He just kind of picked it up a good bit out, having been in the van, and you can just kind of roll out the kind of backside. You just kind of roll down the hill a little bit and you kind of fill your horse up, and it's very difficult for a horse to kind of jostle into a position to chase you there. And then they have to kind of try and make a move on a sweep and turn, and it's not the longest straight home either. So, you know, you can just get that first run. So yeah, no, that's not a bad strategy. Just be up there in the van, you know, as is the case last year with Haiti Couleur as well.
Other things I think you need to be aware of, folks, if you're looking to narrow down your Irish Grand National pick for tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Fairy House. Outsiders, don't be afraid of it. Excuse me, of an outsider. In the last 10 runnings, General Principle 20-1, Lord Larius 40-1, and Freewheeling Dinan 150-1 have won the race. You need to stay, you need the stamina for the 3.5 miles, you need to jump, as we've spoken about. No horse older than 9 in the last 10 runnings has won. So horse race.
I think that's a key stat, John. I think that's really, and that shows the difference in the race. In fairness, the bigger prize pot now, you're just getting that higher class horse who's winning it. And you see, like IMAX has won at 7, Lord Larry at 187, Burroughs Saint was only 6, R. Duke was only 7. You know, that is important. And those seasoned handicappers are just not, they just don't have enough up their sleeve these days to kind of, you know, go and win the race. They can run into the 5, no problem, but really going and winning one of these, it's highly unlikely for those older season handicappers who are just really exposed, because like you say, the younger lads, they just tend to have a little bit up their sleeve, and also maybe trying the extended trip for the first time as well. They might give more first time of asking, but when they've done it a few times, you know, maybe can leave a little mark on them.
Between 2000 and 2022, in the Irish Grand National, only one horse carried over 11 stone to win. In 2023 and 2024, we had horses carrying over 11 stone to win. Reflective of what you're saying there, Tom, it'd been a classier race now. And Haiti Couleur, 10 stone 13, nearly on 11 stone. So don't be afraid of weight now. Maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd be going for lowly weighted horses. Now, the Dunmaglocklin horses were low weights, but sometimes don't discount a class horse either. Like Better Days Ahead is the top weight, taking £7 off, was sixth in the race last year. You wouldn't discount a classier type.
No, absolutely not. And look, you look what happened with the Folly Master. Like, there's no doubt about Folly Master. He was laid out for this race. Now they've missed the cut by a pound. You know what I mean? The bottom weight's 134 and they're 135. It's just, you know, you feel terrible for them. And especially like that family connection to the race as well with the Drapers, and he's just, you know, not going to get in. So it's such a delicate balancing act for connections now. Whereas, you know, before, like we have a horse at home, he actually turned 30 there during the week. And back in the day, he finished place in this race. Again, he was pretty much out of the handicap and he had, you know, claimed £7 off bottom weight of 10 stone at the time. So he was just a big old plodder and he's able to nip around for a place, magic for connections. But like, I just don't think you're able to, you just won't get into the race anymore with that, with these, you know, classier horses up near the top, you know.
Who is this horse? Yeah, do you remember the name of it?
Dante's Reef. Yeah. I lead him out into the field every day. He was trained by Tony Martin. Robbie Colgan actually rode him on the day. Yeah. My partner, Barbara's had him since he was a foal, and he had his 30th birthday there during the week.
So, 1996.
And he actually, funnily, he won at Clonmel. He won a 2.5 mile chase at Clonmel. That was the same race that was won during the week, that was run during the week on what would have been his 30th birthday. So yeah. Great. Look, these racehorses, they can live a long life. It's very unusual for a horse to get to 30, by the way. That's incredibly unusual. But
yes.
Yeah, he was decent.
Fifth in
his retirement.
Fifth in 2007 behind Butler's Cabin. Let's just break away, Tom, for a moment. We have full time at the Gaelic Grounds. Clare in Dublin, it's over. Tommy Rooney.
John, welcome back to the Gaelic Grounds here. And Clare have been crowned Allianz National Hurling League Division 1B champions. A 226 to 320 win in the end. Dublin chased a late goal to try and force an equaliser, but they just probably left themselves too much work to do in the second half. It was a totally different Dublin side, James Skell, in that second half in terms of physicality, in terms of intent, aggression and skill, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, there was probably a small bit of a championship feel about the
Okay, we seem to have lost James Skell's line there, but we know the outcome is that Clare have won. They've beaten Dublin there in that match at the Gaelic Grounds. Let's go back to Tom Malone on the Irish National. Tom, you there?
Yeah, right here, John. Yeah, ready to go.
Okay, let's get into the field then for the Irish Grand National tomorrow. I'm just looking through it here. And I've gone through all the horses and I was hearing them. Just 1 second there, Tom. So just going through all of them, there's 30 runners and we have three reserves. So the reserves, the Lovely Man, Folly Master and You Have Me in Stitches. Any chance of them getting into the race?
No, they're not. No, they're gone now. So they're just struck through as non-runners there after the deck. So like, again, it's just so unfortunate for the likes of the Folly Master. It's just, well, look, we'll see what happens. Mate. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure exactly, but I think if they've missed it now, they've missed it. So, but I don't know. Back in the day, you used to be able to wait until much closer to the time. But I think sort of newer rules, it's tight. But that's awful for them. But yeah, look, it's the jukebox kid there, right up the top of the market.
Jukebox kid. So I'm just looking at the market here, Tom. He is the favourite at 7.5 to 1 with William Hill for the Irish Grand National, 5 o'clock tomorrow. So he's an English trained horse. I mean, we had a Welsh winner last year in Haiti Calura. So this is a horse trained by Ben Pauling, who trained the Jukebox Man for Harry Redknapp doing the King George at Christmas at Kempton. This horse is a 7-year-old. He's only run 6 times in his life. He's won 4 of those races, probably well handicapped. The experience angle might be a worry. He is a good jumper. So what is your makeup of his profile?
Yeah, like he's kind of the ideal profile, isn't he? It is that Ara Duke, that Haiti Calura kind of angle. Look, he looks to stay very well. He was, you know, lined up to go in the National Hunt Chase, avoided that to come here. Seems to handle a decent bit of going. He's by Jukebox Jury, so that should be, you know, a positive. He's won on good to soft. I'm just saying that I know the going is yielding to soft, but we have not had much rain. The wind here has been very severe, and I imagine it's going to keep on drying over the course of the next 24 hours. So just note that. I'd certainly be, you know, if your horse wants a slog, wants a soft ground, wants deep ground, they're not going to get that. That's what they've been getting all year, but they're not going to get that here today. But yeah, the Duke Box Kid very much fits that Haiti Couleur or Duke Burrow scent kind of profile, doesn't he?
And now I narrowed it down last night to two horses. How many horses have you narrowed it down to for the Irish Grand National, Tom?
I kind of have been taking the sort of one from the top, one from the bottom, maybe kind of approach. It's just, I thought Argento Boy.
So you got three, have you?
Yeah, I thought of those up near the top. Look, obviously, what Paul Tennant's decision as a kind of key to the market, and really, like Kiss Will and Argento Boy have basically changed position in the market just on the basis of a jockey booking. I'm a big fan of Argento Boy. Yes, I know he finished eighth in the RSA, and it's a quick turnaround, but he just looks like sort of an ideal kind of sort of those. So I just thought maybe it was him, or it's kind of between him, Soldier Milan, someone like that. Of the horses that I just think can run into a place at bigger prices, Monbeg Genius, I think he'll be okay. And then right down the bottom as well, I thought We've All Been Caught had a chance to sort of run into the place as well. But the more I look at this race, and I honestly think conditions are going to change more in the next 24 hours or so, it's all becoming more muddy rather than more clear, to be perfectly honest. And again, I really like Soldier Milan. And then you just think, well, the Jukebox Kid just could easily have 10 pounds up his sleeve, and he's coming here fresh and he hasn't run in 50 days. And it's very tricky. I kind of really like the chance of Soldier. I'm torn between Soldier Milan and Argento Boy near the top of the market. Okay. And then I do like the chance of When All Been Caught near the bottom.
Okay, so Argento Boy does not look especially well handicapped for me, but he did win a grade three at Nace on his penultimate start, got approved stamina and jumping ability in the colours of Galopin des Champs. And then when we talk about Soldier in Milan, Paul Byrne, very shrewd, and Emmett Mullins, shrewd connections. Only five runs under rules. One of them was a bumper win over King Rascal Grey. That is an incredible form for this. So he's a seven-year-old, obvious ability, could be well in. But the inexperience, again, gives pause for thought for me in a race of hustle and bustle. How much is experience important to the Grand National?
Yeah, I think it is, but it's not as much as it used to be. You know, it's as much... The thing is, a lot of these will find they're in a big field. You know, a lot of the problem with find for maybe for some of the novices is just that having a run in a big field, maybe sort of for the first time, as we see... You know, so many of these novice chases over the course of the year, they just end up in 5-6 runner fields top. So that might be something to note, is that that sort of claustrophobia as much as the jumping tests and what that brings into proceedings, you know. But that's why I kind of like We've All Been Caught as one, you know, right down near the bottom, and a sort of, he's definitely been aimed at the race. He should handle the going.
40-1, Tom. 40-1. Form.
Yeah, and he's also one of those big price ones. Again, I can't find a massive amount of angle between those, you know, the likes of say Tashans, Yeman, Jukebox Kid, all like they're all very. There's so little between them. It's very difficult to make. Like if you're making a case for one, you're making a case for all of them. So maybe that's why I just moved away from it for that. The other one that's like really on the upgrade. Absolutely on the way up. Show Your Appreciation. Obviously notable that Mark Walsh goes and takes the mount. He's got that penalty. He's just been improving. Jonathan Sweeney's horses are going well. I thought Show Your Appreciation had a squeak. Again, he just looks like the improver that's just constantly moving in the right direction. But it's very it's difficult at the top of the market to make a clear case for one over the other. Because of just those questions about the inexperience over as much as anything else, you know?
This is Off the Ball Sunday News Talk. John Duggan with you on the Racing Pod live with Tom Malone from Ferry House. We're looking ahead to the Irish Grand National at 5 o'clock tomorrow, folks. One of the big, for the casual punter might have a euro each way and something, or five each way on the 30 runners, and Easter Monday, people are off. They want to have a bit of an interest in it. And the one you said there, Show Your Appreciation, small yard, Jonathan Sweeney, had the horse at 2 years off. Has been nursed back to health, running up a hat-trick recently. He's a novice, soft ground suits. Mark Walsh rides again. Definitely got an each-way chance. We've All Been Caught was once with Nigel Twiston Davies in the UK. Second in the Munster National.
you know, fourth in a Kim Muir once upon a time as well. So you just know he has that toughness that you need. Again, he is maybe he's one of those horses who might not win, but you can easily see him running into the five, you know, because you get, again, for the each way players here, you know, the big price, small stakes. I wouldn't put someone off a horse like that.
And I've gone for two, Tom, that are not in your list, which is good because we all have different opinions. So my Better Times Ahead is an interesting one for me. He's an improver. He shot up the handicap. He's a course and distance winner earlier this season in the Porterstown Chase, which is a key trial. Then second in Goran Park at the Thyestes. Now, it'll be different ground, as you have outlined there, and Simon Torrens rides for JP McManus. Might need softer ground, would have an each-way chance for Robert Tyner. He says that the race has been the plan for the horse all season. My selection, though, is going to be Flicker of Hope, which is very apt. An interesting runner.
It's what we all need, John.
Yes, it is in life and tomorrow as well, if Harry has. A course winner, beat Back Me or Sack Me and Oscar's Brother in a valuable handicap hurdle at Navan last season. That is top form.
And do you know what is what I like about him, John? You know, they obviously just, after he disappointed Nace, they obviously just went, you know what? Let's just back off this horse for a while and have a, and clearly has come here fresh.
Yeah. And Mark Fahey trains a nice win at Nace on his penultimate run before the flop, as you said there. He jumps, and Michael Kennedy takes £5 off. He'll be a jockey for the future, if not the present. And one thing I want to watch in races back, Tom, is I like a horse with resolution, that a horse might be under pressure and then responds to it, and then it shows a good attitude to get the head down all the way through the line. And that's what Flicker of Hope has for me. And I think he's an each-way chance. Like, he's probably about looking through the little bit of money.
16s from, there, yeah?
Yeah, but you can also get 25. You can also get 25 in some places, 25-1. So,
The one thing I would say about that as well, John, you know, this is a handicap where every pound matters. You've got Mikey Kennedy, who's a top-class £5 claimer, but also a horse that just kind of gives and gives and gives for his jockey. You kind of never really know how easy he's won. So they tend to be, you know, he could have more there, but it probably looks like he's working harder than maybe he is if he holds a bit back for himself. So I think that's a real positive as well. Whereas, you know, sometimes flashier horses get a little bit overrated, but they might be harder on themselves than it looks. Whereas when the jockey has to ask for that little bit all the time, it's actually, you know, maybe the horse isn't expending as much of themselves and it can be difficult to truly assess the handicap mark.
So I've going to select Flicker of Hope each way as my pick for the Irish Grand National, 5 o'clock on Monday. You can get 25-1, folks. What is your selection, Tom? You got to get off the fence now. Give us one.
No, I'm getting off the fence. I'm going with Show Your Appreciation, the improver. I just love the way he's improving. Mark Walsh had the pick of what, half a dozen nearly in this race. He's gone with him. He's in form. He jumps. He should stay. He's on the way up, like 10-7 in Mark Walsh. That's just, you know, that's no Easter eggs. No Easter eggs this year for Mark Walsh. Until tomorrow, maybe in celebration. But Show Your Appreciation. Round about 16-1. And I say, for those of you who do like to have something at a huge price, you might run into a place. I like the chance of when we've all been caught. By the way, I know the owner actually, and there'll be an almighty celebration if that.
They had Real Steel. Real Steel won the big race at Leopardstown.
Paddy Power.
Yeah. And that was a horse was really good, and he was a 33-1 shot, I think, when he won. Would you give like Better Days Ahead any chance at the top? I mean, he's in a much easier season this season.
Yeah, and he's clear. Like, if you look through, in fairness to HRI, they sent around, you know, reports of all the quotes from all the connections, and it's been clearly outlined. And look, he has Rob James on board claiming seven. That is the biggest thievery of £7 going. You know, he has hundreds of point-to-point winners. He is not some, you know, he's not some £7 claimer. So it's a real cheat code, that £7 claim of Rob James. He just doesn't ride in the track very often. He's, you know, point to points every day of the week. He's ridden so many winners between the flags. He still has a £10 claim because he just doesn't ride in the track very often. So look, that's an absolute cheat code, that £7 claim there, to get him down to 11.5. You know. And then he's right down there with, you know, those other class horses. But again, he's coming in there like 37 days since his last run. Clearly been aimed at the race by Milan. That the, you know, he'll handle the ground as well. So yeah, it'll all be fine.
He's gone through the past winners of the race. I mean, we had Intense Raffles.
A slightly decent going. It'll be, they'll be fine.
Yeah, just looking through the past winners of the race. Arduke was class, but Rogue Angel was a front runner for me. A Freewheel and Dylan, Lord Lariat front runners. Do you think it's a difficult race to ride in, Tom, the Irish National?
I imagine it's very difficult. And, you know, if you don't get a good position in the first sort of mile or so, I imagine you're just taking your medicine and trying to think your way through it. The fences are big. They come at you quick. There's, you know, 30 other runners in the race. There's so much that can go wrong. Again, that with all those novices, it probably made into a rider's mind that the people could make mistakes. But I imagine if you get up in the van early doors, but everyone's looking to do that, and only four or five people can do it. So there's probably 20 odd lads who are going to be disappointed with their position after half.
Okay, we just have a little bit of an issue with Tom's line there. We're going to try and get Tom back on Zoom there momentarily, right? And let's just go through the returns from Ferry House this afternoon on the Racing Pod Live here on Off the Ball Sunday. So the maiden hurdle went to Kyle Cannon, 5-2 favourites. So that was the 130. At the 205, the Cawley Furniture Novice Handicap Hurdle went to Katie Daniels at a price of 33-1. Trained by Ben Harvey, Queen Collins rather, and ridden by Ben Harvey, the Dublin jockey, Keen Collins, the trainer of that. Bit of a shock result. Then Cocktail Brew, another shock in the Novice Hurdle. Donoghue Marquis Novice Hurdle, the Grade 2, over 2 miles. Cocktail Brew, 13-2 winner for Jack Kennedy in the saddle for Gordon Elliott, the trainer. And Ebony King was second at 28-1. Murat was third at 25-1. The Paddy Keogh Suspended Ceilings Novice Hurdle, the Grade 2, has just been won by Paul Townend and Willie Mullins in Mate. He's on fire, 3-1 favourite. A Generous Risk, second at 22-1. And I Started Joke was third at 11-1. Just looking through the odds here for the 350, which is the first Grade 1 of the day at Ferry House. This is the Honeysuckle Mares Novice Hurdle. And this is coming up in just a moment. Looking through here now. And that was today. And then we have, the 350 here. So horses would have run at Cheltenham. Are they over the top? We have Old School Outlaw drifting out to 5-2. Charme de Faust, 7-2. Tom, just looking at the Honeysuckle Mares Novice at 350. Bit of money for Place de la Nation, Jackie Hobbs, Kingston Queen. Zanush pretty solid in the market. How have you assessed this race?
Last sort of few years, and like Willie Mullins in this race has won 6 of the last 8. Just in the greater races generally, he's been absolutely dominant in the card. You see, he won there, but he's on fire in the Grade 2 a moment ago. Look, I kind of went, well, we'll just go look at the angle of the fresh horse potentially. And I like the chances of Zanush in this. The Grade 2 novices at the Mayor's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham, it's within a month. You wonder what impact it'll have, particularly with novice fillies. You're not sure how they bounce out of it. But just the thought for me was that Zanush has come in here fresh. Colin Murphy's well able to have one ready to go. You know, he's well able to train a good filly. And we just thought that Zanush would continue to progress here. And again, nice that she's coming here fresh. She's coming in. This has been the target. Whereas, you know, obviously if a horse goes and runs a Cheltenham, comes back here, it can seem a little bit of an afterthought.
So what's your selection?
Zanush,
yeah. I was looking at Zanush there, and one, Colin Murphy, it's kind of an interesting story for him because he was training for a while and then he didn't train and then he's back training again. I mean, he's such success with Brave Inc and Big Zeb back in the noughties.
Yeah, and he had such good horses. But he's come back, he had Relegate as well since he's come back too. So he has had, really quality horses. This one, look, when you're a smaller trainer, it's difficult. Trying to get the firepower is the most difficult part of the job. There's no doubt about that. But look, Colm, like so many fellas, when he gets one that's good enough, he's shown he's able to handle it. And God, you'd really hope that Zanush runs well here, entitled to really progressive filly. And like I said, it's just wondering what impact that the Cheltenham race has had on the rest of the market. The likes of Old School Outlaw, there's in round about 9-4, and Charme de Faust, finished 4th as well. So it's just wondering whether they can bounce back from that. But obviously, look, Zanush is very progressive, and that was the reason for the selection.
And now we have the other great one today, 5 o'clock, the Willow Worm Gold Cup, 6 Mile Bridge for all the Clare fans. They've won the Hurling B1B title today. Is a 9-4 shot for Fergal O'Brien, trainer in England, no relation to the snooker player. Cabbage Pike, 3-1 for Danny Mullins, Willie Mullins. Predators Gold with Paul Townend, who just had a winner, being backed into 3-1 now. Jimmy DeSoy, also from the Willie Mullins stable, 9-1. The rest are outsiders. Calaconti's an on runner. How do you assess this one? I like Cabbage Pike. I was very impressed with his win the last day. And Danny Mullins, even though he keeps the ride, that's not a negative for me.
No, it's not at all. And I think he's just been allowed to keep the ride, which is pretty decent of connections. Like, I don't know, to be perfectly honest. But like, you feel like if you flip the jockeys here, Cabbage Pike is going to be clear favourite. Like, the only thing you'd feel that's inflating Cabbage Pike's price is the fact that Paul Townend hasn't taken the ride. You know, and Cabbage Pike is coming here fresh. It's the same angle as the other race. You know, Cabbage Pike and Fergal O'Brien's horse are coming here direct. You know, 6 Mile Bridge is already a Grade One winner in the UK, albeit four runners, Silly Isles. But I really like Cabbage Pike as well. Love the way it's coming here fresh. I actually think Jimmy DeSoy is not a horse I'll leave going back to. He's a double figure price as well. I know he fell last time out and he disappointed before that, but he's the kind of horse that, if he's sort of 10-12-1, I'll always just back him each way, because he's the kind of horse that feel like he lets you down when he's a short price, but if he's a big price, he might do something for you. So I won't leave him alone. But yeah, I do like Cabbage Pike as well.
I wouldn't put anybody off Jimmy DeSoy, folks, if you're having a look at the 5 o'clock. I almost think he's a horse that needs to be fresh and he needs decent ground.
Yeah, and he'll probably get both of those things today. John, if someone told me they're backing any horse in this race, I'd probably be like, yeah, fair enough. You know, it's just one of those.
Yeah, even Fleur in the Park is not out of it.
Fleur in the Park is not out of it. If you walked down the ring and you saw 100-1, I wouldn't be putting anyone off, because he is no back number. Jacob's Ladder's come into this fresh. You know, talk about Jimmy DeSoy. You know, there's very few you can, like, one of my first things I do when I try and assess a race is just try and draw through as many horses you think of no chance at the start, so then you can at least, you know, compile your short list. But it was very difficult to do in this race.
Tom Malone, we need to wrap it up there. So you're going for Show Your Appreciation in the Irish Grand National at Ferry House, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tom.
Yeah, looking forward to it, John. And geez, if the weather holds up like it has today, it'll be a fantastic occasion.
Well, I'm going for Flicker of Hope, which we all hope that we have after the race tomorrow. Thanks, Tom. Speak to you soon.
John, good luck. Thanks.